when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, oh my. Meanwhile, we are here. And I'm sure you join with me in thanking the Lord for this place. And we thank our brothers whom the Lord used to put us in this place. My brother Dave Anderson, my brother Mike. Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians chapter 1. You know, maybe I have too much information here, but none of these podiums hold all my information. So as I search around, bear with me. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have heard, let him be accursed. We have been talking about false teaching. The last time we met, we talked about the Jehovah Witnesses. And today we're going to talk about Christian Science. Point number one, Christian Science is neither Christian nor science. Write that down. It is neither Christian nor science. According to Christian Science, Jesus Christ is not God. He is a divine ideal. The Virgin Mary conceived this idea of God and gave to her idea the name Jesus. Do you understand that? She conceived an idea and called the idea, oh my. But that's the trouble with Christian Science. They use words that we understand, but we don't understand what they're saying. Jesus was the offspring of Mary's self-conscious communion with God. Oh, my. You understand what the... But what does the Bible say? The Christian Scientists say that Jesus was not divine. Let's check a few scriptures. Hear what the Word of God says. John chapter 5. Verses 17 and 18. The Christian Science is saying that Jesus was not divine. John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh and I work too. Now, look what the Jews understood. The Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said that God was his Father, making him equal with God. They knew what he was saying. They knew what he meant. Chapter 10. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. Christian Scientists said he wasn't divine. Chapter 14. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. But the so-called Christian scientists say that Christ wasn't divine. The next thing that they say, I'll read it for you. And all of this you can find in their Bible by Mary Baker. One sacrifice, however great, is insufficient to pay the debt of sin. The next sentence. The blood of Jesus Christ was of no more avail when it was shed on the accursed tree than when it was in his veins. You know, I shudder even when I read it. The blood was of no avail when he shed it, no more than when it was in his veins. Now, I know that you know this, but for the sake of our own edification, let's read what the Bible has to say. Leviticus chapter 17. What does the Bible say about the blood? Chapter 17 of Leviticus. Verse 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. They say the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ had no effect. What does the book say? The blood makes an atonement for the soul. Matthew 26. Verse 28. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 9. Again, you'll have to pardon me, but you know I like to confirm things with as many scriptures as I can find. And I'm not going to give you all the scriptures I have here. It'll take all afternoon. Hebrews chapter 9, did I say? Yes, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. We know this well. 9 and 22. Almost all things by the law are purged with blood. Without shedding of blood, it's no remission. And you turn the page and it tells us that the blood of bulls and goats wouldn't do it. Whose blood will do it? 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed from all sin. I don't know how you feel, but when I read these scriptures, I get a tingling up the spine. A real good feeling. The Christian scientists say the blood is of no avail, and my Bible says the blood cleanses from sin. What a difference. The next point. The language problem. Do you know that the Christian scientists talk? They use words which we understand, but we don't know what they mean by the words. I had a cousin. Evelyn was her name. We used to call her Evie. We used to play piano duets. I went to medical school and she went to the Juilliard School of Music. And I want to tell you, she was developing into a concert pianist. One day I received a notice from her sister. Evie can no longer hear Chopin. You know Chopin, the great writer of piano music. Evelyn can no longer hear Chopin. And I said to myself, oh, that's so sad. The way she loved music, and now she can't hear Chopin. I was reminded of Beethoven. You remember Beethoven, the great composer? He lost his hearing. And at one concert, they were playing Beethoven's music. Beethoven was there, couldn't hear a sound. When the piece was completed, they applauded. The people had to have him stand up and see the applause. He couldn't hear a thing. Evie could no longer hear Chopin. And a few days later, I received the notice, Evie is dead. Why didn't they say she's dead to begin with? Why did they say she can't hear Chopin? So what? A lot of people can't hear. But they use language in a very strange and abusive way. Evie can no longer hear Chopin. Evie's dead, so of course she can't hear Chopin, but she can't do a lot of other things. And when you read Christian Science, you have to be careful. They don't mean by the words that they use what we understand them to mean. I think of another occasion, I was at a friend's home, and this young lady came. She was a Christian Scientist. She was sitting down and about to eat, and she said the following, divine goodness always has and always will provide every human need. Is that saying thanks? Is that the way you give thanks? They have a strange way of using words. The next thing about them is they do not believe in the inspiration of the Bible. They say that the record of the Bible is no more important to our well-being than the history of Europe or the daily newspaper. Can you imagine that? This, the Word of God, has no more meaning than the daily newspaper. The teachings of Mary Eddy Baker, and she is their leader, are considered to be divine and the final revelation of God to man. Can you imagine that? How do we answer that? Book of Revelation, chapter 22. We are told in Deuteronomy not to add to the Word of God, not to alter the Word of God. The book of the Revelation, chapter 22. Mrs. Eddy claims that her writings supersede the Bible. Chapter 22, did I say, in verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written there. Also in Deuteronomy we read, chapter 2, thou shalt not add or diminish from the word of God. And Mary Baker says, that her writings supersede the Word of God. You know, beloved, I'd be afraid to even think that. God's holy Word. Oh, what's the next topic that I have here? Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. Heaven or hell? The Christian Scientists say there is no final judgment. Hell, fire, and judgment are the ravings and imagination of moral error. The judgment day comes hourly and continually. What does the Bible say about heaven and hell? The Christian Scientists say there is no heaven and hell. What does the Bible say? Luke chapter 16, we know that story well. Luke chapter 16, we know it well. Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. And you know, it's not, everybody here knows the story. But you know, it's good to read it over again. Fixes it in your mind. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. My, my, my. He was well off, wasn't he? Fine clothes and good food. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Oh my. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now, beloved, look at it carefully. He was in torments with an S, not one. Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? Torments. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Hell is a real place. The Jehovah Witnesses say, there's no such place as hell. Matthew chapter 5. False teaching. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Who said that? Who spoke those words? The Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know that of all the writers in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ had more to say about hell than any other? And speaking humbly and respectfully, he should know, shouldn't he? Verse 29. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. If thy right hand offend thee, thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Hell is real. The Christian scientists say there is no hell. As I mentioned, the Lord Jesus Christ had more to say about hell than anybody else. Now, there are some people who say, well, it's all symbolic. Well, brother, if it's symbolic, I wouldn't want to see the reality. If what we read of here is symbolic, oh, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. A little more about hell. It's not a pleasant subject, but we're going to look into it. Revelation 20 and 15, don't turn to it. No, don't turn to it. It says hell is a lake of fire. Have you ever been burned? It says it's a bottomless pit. Have you ever been in one of those high buildings and the elevator starts going down and you get that funny feeling as if it's not going to stop? Hell is a bottomless pit. Oh, let me see where we are. Oh, yes. A place where they are tormented with brimstone. Oh, my. You know, one of the blessings that God has granted me, I've had some fine instructors, fine professors. I think of one professor. He taught physics. Don't remember his name now. New York Times, Monday morning, front page. Wexel was his name. Professor Wexel weighs the earth. Oh my. Where would you put your scale if you were going to weigh the earth? Professor Wexel weighs the earth. And he taught me. Oh my. I had another great professor of biophysics, Professor Harrow was his name. And one week he gave a series of lectures on the vitamins. He started on Monday and finished on Friday. When he finished his last lecture, one student raised his hand and said, Professor Harrow, can you give us any references where we can get more information on the subject? You know what Professor Harrow said? My dear boy, there weren't any girls in the class. I am the world's outstanding authority on vitamins. I have told you all that I know. There are no references. Have you ever had a teacher like that? The last word. 2 weeks later, Professor Harrow was lecturing to us. And he said, gentlemen, before I lecture, I have here a piece of brimstone. I'm going to put the brimstone in the fire, and we'll return to the brimstone when the lecture is over. The lecture lasted 50 minutes. Professor Harrow said, now let's see what happened to the brimstone. Took a tongue, took out the brimstone. Gentlemen, he said, as you can see, brimstone does not burn. Oh my. The Bible says that hell is going to burn with brimstone. That upset me for days. The Bible says that hell will burn with brimstone. Professor Harrow demonstrated, assuming that he was right, that brimstone doesn't burn. Oh, I prayed and agonized about it. What is the answer? 2 weeks later, Professor Harrow invited a professor from Columbia University to lecture to the class. I don't remember the professor's name. I don't remember what he talked about. I remember one thing. The professor said, "Gentlemen, you can make anything burn if you make the fire hot enough." And I jumped. I said, "That's it, that's it. The fire wasn't hot enough." That Professor Harrow used. If it's in this book, it's right. The podium here isn't large enough for my two books. You remember the poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow? We used to tease about him. They called him Longfellow because he had long legs. "Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real and life is earnest. The grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest," was not spoken of the soul. Yes, the body returns to dust. I have a few sayings of dying men. I'll read them to you. Sir Walter Scott, when he was dying, said, "I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty." Infidel Adams, when he was dying, said, "I'm lost, lost, lost. I'm damned, damned forever." Edward said, "I'm damned for all eternity." Oh, where's the one by Mr. Payne? Oh, this is in here somewhere. But Mr. Payne, you know him, the great atheist? His nurse was afraid to stay in the room with him the way he behaved. Unsaved men, when they are dying, realize that there is a hell. I had a Sunday school teacher, John Conway. Oh, he was a great preacher of the gospel. He took sick with appendicitis, developed what we call peritonitis. Don't worry about the name. Became delirious. And in his delirium, he preached the gospel, and I am told that the nurses trembled when they heard him preach the gospel. That man's going to heaven. I know of another man. I was present. The same disease, the same illness, and in his dying delirium, "Oh God, God, life, life," he was going to hell. I think of a sister. Sister Rosalind Williams, Toronto, Canada. Her husband was down here about 20 years ago. Sister Rosalind liked to prepare for the saints. Well, she liked to have the saints in her home, and she would feed them. She just enjoyed having the saints. Took sick. Called her family around her. Closed her eyes. And said, "It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, Lord, it's beautiful." And those were her last words. She's going to heaven. You going to heaven? I see a brother shake his head. I don't blame you, brother. If you're going to heaven, shake your head. I think of another man, B.M. Nottage. missionary from New York to Detroit, Michigan. Took sick in the meeting. He had lost a lot of weight. And the brother who lifted him out of the meeting said to me, B.M. Nodded said these words. Waving his hand, he said, goodbye. I'll see you in heaven. Oh, isn't that precious? Hell is real. And heaven is real. Thank God we're going to heaven. I'm finished. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're saved? Thankful. Amen. I'm glad to hear that. Let us sing in closing. Number 256. I have never heard us sing this, but I think our brethren can manage it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. 256. Beloved, as if you mean it. By the way, sing it as if you're glad.